I'm with Dr. Ken Redcross, who is known as a concierge physician and has an amazing new book out called Bond, the Doctor-Patient Bond. Dr. Redcross, first tell me, what does it mean to be a concierge physician?
Right. Well, you know, it's fascinating because everybody understands what a concierge does at some of those high-end hotels. It's the same thing for medical care. In other words, it's making sure that you provide access, convenience, and time to the patient. So it's very patient-centric. So it's about you. It's about being able to call me at 2 a.m. if you have to, or being able to share some very personal things with me. If it takes an hour for us to get through it, it's just whatever it takes to make sure that the patient feels special.
Typically, what kind of a patient do you have? Because obviously healthcare is so expensive these days. Who are your patients?
Yeah, so this is a challenge here because this is something that obviously with the concierge model is not covered by insurance. A lot of my patients typically, and it actually should, I should say this, it varies. It tends to be some entertainers, some athletes that it works for. But then I also have some patients who are like, you know, there's value to this and I can figure it out. I usually work with them as far as a retainer and that sort of thing. There's even some who I have that'll be almost like free. Kind of a scholarship, I like to call it. So, you know, it's something that, once again, it allows me to deliver care the way I think it should be delivered. But once again, it's something that I try to work into folks' budgets when something comes up and they think there's some value for them.
Well, I know you from my mom's healthcare facility, her assisted living facility. And when I first met you, Dr. Redcross, your compassion and empathy was so obvious to me and unusual, I have to say, in the medical profession. You've taken that empathy and you've really created a platform, including the book that you have written, for how doctors can relate to their patients,
right,
and conversely how patients can relate to their doctor, thus the title, Bond.
Right, right. No, this is, it was so important to me. One of the things I love to convey to everyone, I feel so fortunate and blessed to do what I do. Meaning that each and every day, especially when I was in the office, each and every day, I was able to meet a new person. Some days I'd meet 20 new people, some days I'd meet 30 new people, right? But the point is, I was able to get into the soul of patients each and every time. And I realized that patients come to us because they're scared. They come to us because they need a friend. Very rarely are patients coming to just get something and they run out. It happens sometimes, but it's important for that to be a relationship that matters. And so that's something I was always very passionate about. And I really started thinking, like, you know, healthcare is kind of right now on life support itself. Everyone's not happy, whether it be my colleagues or whether it be patients. And so I started to write about how I noticed that healthcare was changing. Now, this started all the way back in 07.
Wow.
And so now we fast forward here to 2018. I may be a little more gray or what have you, but it's completed. It's done. And like I said, I think I was able to pour out a lot of my soul and things that I think that patients and docs find important.
What have you learned in all these years of being a physician about individuals? What is it that they need the most?
You know, the thing I always, always tell patients is the important thing at the end of the day is that everyone wants to feel loved. Everyone wants to feel loved by their husband, by their brothers, their sisters. And I think you should also feel loved from your doctor. You should feel like your doctor is truly invested in how you heal, how you're doing, how you're dealing with your marriage, how you're dealing with your kid that just went off to college and you're coping with that. And so I think the love is the answer to so many things, not just in healthcare, but in the world, right? But especially in healthcare. And that's something that, as we've become a little more regimented and a little more formal in healthcare, a little bit of the love is leaving a little bit and it's becoming a little more about that volume instead of the value of that relationship.
But isn't that really against what you're taught in medical school? Don't get involved with your patient. Have a professional distance, right? Isn't that what you're taught?
You know, it's funny. You are, but I don't think I was good at it. I don't think I was that good at it because I was one of those like, oh my gosh, Miss Jones, I have to talk to her tomorrow. I have to give her some news. And I brought it home with me. But I'll tell you this. There's a way to still be obviously professional about how you deliver news and how you do those things, but I don't believe that you need to necessarily be an arm's length like maybe we used to. I think right now as a culture we're changing. I think our lives are a little more difficult than they used to be. So I think it's important to really work on that relationship. And like I said, the bond. And I don't think necessarily that arm's length is the best way to go anymore, but I think you can still be very professional and do your job.
So the book is out. It's been out a few months. Who is reading the book? Is it both doctors and patients?
You know, it's interesting. You know, I'm laughing because right now it tends to be a lot of patients, because I think patients are the ones that are, well, actually, I shouldn't say that they're the most frustrated, but I will be on the road a lot, and I hear patients talk about, gosh, I can't find a doctor. They don't listen to me. They don't communicate. They're in the electronic medical record all the time. So I didn't think that that was good. I wanted to talk to them about how we could change that. On the flip side, my docs or my colleagues are frustrated for a totally different reason. It's because we went to medical school because most of us should love and adore patients, but we can't see 30 or 40 a day and be able to really give everything that we feel the patients need. So I think at the end of the day, most docs, we just want to meet new people, help them feel better, heal them the way we went to medical school and dedicated our lives to do. And now that's changing. And so a lot of my colleagues are frustrated. So the book is set up so that it's really geared a lot to what patients, so they can understand what they can do to get through to their doctor, so that they can say, you know, I really like this doctor, but I need him to communicate a little bit better. Or I need her to help me with the compassion side because I don't feel it. So how do you kind of break through that? The second thing for the docs, I have a little bit of a kind of a, this is what I do and I think works for me. Now, you know, with my colleagues, we can be a very fickle bunch. Mm-hmm. So some may say, well, doc, it's not a bad idea. And some will say, doc, I don't have time for that. That's not going to work for me. And that's the point. It's okay. We're all different. Whether we be internal medicine docs like myself or whether we be surgeons, we're all different and unique. But I just hoped that, you know, some of my colleagues looked at it, and some did. They were like, oh, Kenny, that's all you. That's how you are. But it's funny. Like, they may not call the patient on Sundays. I used to love calling a patient, just cold call them Sunday to say hello.
In fact, you have a story in the book where you're calling a patient and it's like, what's the matter? Why are you calling me?
Yeah. He didn't know what to do. It was during the inauguration. I was just walking by. I saw it. I thought about him because I saw him later on like a Thursday or Friday. And so I just reached out to him and just said, how are you? And so he says, everything's okay, doc. Is everything okay? I'm like, sure. He's like, no labs. Just wondering what you're up to. But from that, you talk about creating a bond. We were friends. I wasn't just his doc at that moment. I was his friend. And so it becomes important when he has to come back in the office and share some potentially embarrassing stories or something that he feels he can't share with someone. But that's the closeness that I try and foster the best I can.
You talk about embarrassing stories, and I saw a comedian once say something about going to her gynecologist or something, and that she couldn't even tell the doctor of this issue. A lot of people withhold because they don't want the doctor to judge them. They don't want to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. They don't want them to think poorly of them. That's not a good idea.
No, it isn't. In fact, things I talk about throughout the book are the four important things are trust, respect, empathy, and communication. Those are the four big things that I want everyone to kind of leave with and say, you know, am I able to feel that I can trust my doctor to be honest with me? Can I be trustworthy to him and give him or her all the information? Do I feel the respect? Do they listen to me? Do they give me eye contact? Do they have a problem with me bringing in papers about something that I think I may have, but I need you to talk me off the ledge? Do they feel empathetic? And not only that, it's just that compassion, right? And the communication, I mean. The communication is important. And that's a lot of different verbal clues. Looking up from the computer when you're talking to the patient. Those little things are things that can sabotage a visit or can absolutely mend and really join a visit. So it really, really depends and varies.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ken Redcross is the author of Bond, the patient-doctor relationship, or is it the doctor-patient relationship? Which way am I saying?
I always like to put the patient first.
Okay. Well,
so I say patient-doctor.
Patient-doctor. You mentioned the one word that I think is so crucial in today's world in every industry, and that is Google. When people say, I have some symptoms, and I Googled it, doc.
Yeah.
What's that like for you?
You know, it's funny. I think it took obviously some adjusting, because at the beginning of my career, I may date myself here, but at the beginning of my career, there really wasn't a Google per se. So I think when you think about that, what I usually do is I try to use it as a tool to once again bring us closer. Because if they're Googling their symptoms, there's a couple of things. Number one, they tend to be scared. and they want to know what's wrong and what's going on. So I need to say, okay, so I need to, number one, make sure that I respect that they printed this out and they think they have this, absolutely, and I need to help them understand that you're different, you're a person, not that paperwork. And then the other thing that I try to help them recognize is, to the point I just said, that Google doesn't understand all of the other social issues that go into play, things that take place, than just these are the symptoms and cookbook. Because medicine isn't like a cookbook. There's so much that goes into it that Google's not going to understand that your asthma is worsening because you have two cats and a parakeet. They're not going to know that sort of thing. And those are the things that are important that you can only get with that good patient-doctor relationship.
So I'm going to ask you this very important question.
Sure.
Are you a good patient?
All right. I'm going to be honest with you guys. We as doctors are notoriously terrible, but I'm pretty good. I'm a lot better than I used to be because I did a lot of diagnosing myself and that sort of thing because I know what's going on. But I decided to put that in the hands of a good colleague of mine to make sure that I'm not short-sighted myself. So it takes a while. One of the things I'm really big into is not only health but also wellness. When I'm talking about wellness, I'm talking about exercise. I'm talking about the spiritual aspect of us staying healthy and us staying happy. One of the things we talked about is that, vitamin D is incredibly important. I talk a lot about that. I hit the road, kind of on the road show, because we're starting to recognize that vitamin D is not only about bone health, it's about immune health, it's about being healthy and happy, our moods, a lot of those things. And it's a simple vitamin. And if you think about it, it's pretty fascinating, right? You have the good Lord set up something that the sun hits our skin, and guys, we make it ourselves. We make a pro-hormone from the sun. It's just the most natural thing that you can get and put into your body and get those benefits. And so that's why I always thought it was something that would really bring the patient doctor together, because it allows a lot of discussion, a lot of back and forth, and more importantly, a lot of education. Because that's another thing I talk about in the book as well. I like the patient to feel just as educated as I am about the disease state that we're dealing with at the moment. I don't like to even really say disease. I call it more of a dis-ease, mm-hmm. if anything, because I like to make sure everybody is thinking spiritually about health, even if things don't look that way. But I think it becomes important with something like vitamin D, something like some of the other common diseases, diabetes, hypertension, where it requires a partner.
Mm-hmm. You've appeared at the Healing Summit in 2018, and at the Healing Summit, you were a brilliant speaker.
Thank you.
And you did something that I wish we had a visual, but this is audio. You put up on the board a word, earth.
Yeah.
And from that, you derived something very special. You spun it in a way that everybody said, wow.
Yeah. You know, one thing that was fascinating about the word heart and earth is that they have the exact same letters in them. So now you guys can all go scramble, write it down, and look at the letters for yourself. And they're the exact same letters, but the one word that they share is ear, in between both of them. And so I thought that was important to pull out, because that's one of the things that I think in the patient-doctor bond that we miss, and that's listening. I think we as docs have gotten quite busy, and so sometimes we don't listen, because I really feel that lots of times the patients give you the diagnosis. Then on the flip side, I think as far as patients listening to what docs are saying is that, look, trying to do our best, have a lot going on, a lot on our plates, and help us. Help us sometimes. Be open. Like you had mentioned before, be open. Let us know. Are you happy? Was that not a good interaction? Is there something else you need to share with me? What can I do to make this better? And so when I mention those two words, they're so important to me, because the heart is like, as the way I look at it, your spirit. And I look at the earth as your body, as your physical body. And I think when they come together and that beautiful word that they share can make a huge difference as far as in their relationship and in your health.
I'm going to give you a scenario. You're teaching a bunch of young physicians, maybe mm-hmm. interns or residents, and you have a number of years experience as a physician in hospital, concierge physician. You're also in media.
Mm-hmm.
You've written the book. You get out and about. What piece of advice, you know, one piece, I mean, there's a lot you can impart, but what's one piece of advice you would give to young doctors today, in today's world as we know it?
Right. No, I'm glad you asked me that. You need to really be true to yourself about what you love. See, for instance, for me, my concierge medicine and being able to deliver care in that way doesn't work for everyone, but it speaks to me from my heart. I don't mind getting a call at 2 a.m. to go over some issues or challenges. Some of my colleagues are like, "Doc, you're crazy." But for me, that completes me. If I wasn't a physician, I don't know what I'd be doing with myself. I'd be in pieces, because I was blessed enough to realize that me and that kind of relationship is what completes me. So you have to be true to yourself. If you're someone that you're saying, you know, "Doc, I can't get that late call. I'm not a good sleeper. I don't like that." That's okay. And if surgery is your thing, that's wonderful. But make sure you feel it. Make sure it's something that speaks to you. Because for me, I never feel like I'm at work. It's never work for what I do. Am I busy? Am I tired? Am I traveling? Am I exhausted? Yes. But it never feels like work. I almost feel guilty, you know, making a living, doing all these other things that literally are just passions. And I always let them know, be true to yourself. And that's really pretty much following that passion of what makes you tick, no matter what everyone else thinks about that.
You've shared with me since I've gotten to know you that you don't feel complete unless you've touched people on right. a daily basis.
Yeah.
And what does that mean, touching people?
You know, I need to feel that I've resonated in some way. In other words, somebody has now gotten a little nugget of information that they didn't know before. Or somebody who was sad is now happier because of something that we've had. Or because I've given them a big hug. Or because we've talked about something. Or I've helped them tease out some problems. I need to feel that way each and every day. And the funny thing about that is, some of the challenging times that even I'll have as a meditator to try to get out of some little things that may feel like a rut, I feel that way when I haven't touched enough people for the week. So it's one of these things, like, it really is a part of me and what I enjoy doing and to making people happy. And if I'm having one of these little rough weeks, I realize, you know what, Ken, this week was too much about you. This week was too much about you ticking off things on your list, but it needs to be about them. It needs to be about all those other people that you want to touch. And then I'm able to kind of recenter myself.
You mentioned the M word. Talk to me about meditation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, meditation is, it's one of those things that I had to kind of learn the hard way. I was going nonstop until I had some physical issues of my own. And I had to realize, like, where can I get a private space that, you know, it is only for Dr. Red Cross, it's only for Ken to be in, my little four walls to where no one can come into, is impenetrable. And it was meditation for me. It was the ability for me to kind of transport myself to wherever I needed to go. And I didn't have to have a ticket. I didn't have to worry about if I was going coach or first class. It didn't matter. I was going anywhere I wanted to go. And so meditation allows me that spirituality. Now, I'll tell you this. I used to start with like these long 45-minute hours, try to do it, and my mind would race, and I know everyone says it happens. The best thing for me, and especially with my personality, it's like some of those, almost like a power nap in medical school. It was almost like those 15, 20-minuters that was just as impactful for me. It was less S-word to me. I never say that word stress, so I'm only going to say S-word.
Oh.
I never say stress.
Okay.
But it made me less S-word. And allowed me to feel like I was able to kind of reboot myself in that 15 to 20 minutes to say, okay, I need to recenter myself. And I'm able to do that. And I'm able to do that pretty much daily.
Is it more than once?
Really, it's once in the morning, once at night. And I do it, and once again, in the morning is about 15 minutes, maybe 20. It's a little bit tougher at night because sometimes I'm up late and I have to get up for an early call or something. But it tends to be about 15 in the morning and 15 at night.
As we close out this podcast interview, Dr. Ken Red Cross, what is the one story you can share with me about an outstanding experience you've had with a patient that moved you, surprised you, made you laugh?
Yeah.
That you remember today?
You know, that's a good one. It was probably some of my times in L.A. You know, L.A. was a time to where, well, number one, my concierge started. I started to really recognize that I needed to do, that I wanted to do more for patients than healthcare was allowing me to do. And so I became a little more entrepreneurial at that time. And it started with a patient who had a disease called multiple myeloma. It's a rough disease, especially back then. Now with some better treatments, but back then it was rough. But with them and that family, I met them from a fellow colleague. She just told me about a friend of hers whose husband had this terrible disease and he couldn't get to the doctor. So I started taking care of him, and this became like almost a 2 to 3 year battle with this disease to when I got really ingrained into the family. And there were a lot of times that you would think they were always somber and so forth, but I got a chance to learn his personality. He was extremely funny. So here we are, we're talking about death, or we're talking about some of these things that can be like I said, somber and difficult for a lot of people. We're having laughter, we're having love, we're sharing foods, we're sharing our time together. And so it was one of those times when I really started to recognize all of the different facets of the patient-doctor relationship, and that we can really, in these deep, dark times, still find a lot of joy with each other. And he did well for a really long time. I'm still friends with the family now. Always check in with them from Los Angeles when she's in town. I see the wife and the kids are now off to college and so forth. So, you know, that was one of those stories that just kind of, you know, let me realize what my purpose is on this earth and what I'm supposed to be doing each and every day. And so I have a lot of little stories like that, but that was one that was a story that I thought it was going to be a quick hello and a quick come in and help for a house call. And then you look, what, 1,200 days later, you know, we're still kind of attached at the hip.
You never know who you're going to meet and how it's going to affect your life.
You never do. Absolutely.
Dr. Ken Redcross, author of Bond, the Patient-Doctor Relationship.
Yes, absolutely. By all means, and feel free. I always love meeting new folks, joining any of my social media things. All the books available on Amazon under Bond by Dr. Redcross, and also on my webpage, my book page, which is Bond by Dr. Redcross.